Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Pesachim, daf Kuf. Again, another rather short daf, but really, really packed in terms of Mefarshim, in terms of there's a bunch of relevant halach lemaisa. Just to get our bearings, we start off with the parak Arvei Pesachim yesterday. We discussed that Erev Pesach, Samach Lemincha, one is not allowed to eat a proper meal. You don't have to be fasting. You don't have to eat a proper meal in order to come into Pesach, in order to come into the Seder, to eat the matzah with a big taiva, b'teyavan. That was the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, why are you focusing on Erev Pesach? This halacha applies to every Erev Yantiv, every Erev Shabbos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, one's not allowed to have a meal from Mincha and on in order to preserve his appetite. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot. So what's the chiddush of Mishnah? So Rabbi says, indeed, our Mishnah is going inner basi. You're right, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this didn't apply by every Erev Shabbos and Erev Yantiv. Our Mishnah is going inner basi, and even Erev Basi says, normally by Erev Shabbos and Erev Yantiv, we're not particular about not allowing to eat from Mincha and on. On Erev Pesach, Rabbi Yehuda is masking to Rabbi Yehuda that we are particular. That was Rav Huna's answer. If Papa wanted to suggest an answer, that no, we can be going even Rabbi Yehuda. If you medayik the words, our Mishnah says even Samach Lemincha. Samach Lemincha, we're talking about Mincha Gatan over here, we're talking about Mincha that happens 9.5 hours into the day with 2.5 hours left till Shkia. So that Mincha is when we're saying you're not allowed to eat. On Pesach, we're saying Samach LeMincha. Erev Pesach, you cannot even eat even Samach LeMincha, even a half hour before Mincha, even a tekufa before Mincha. Whereas every Erev Yantiv and Erev Shabbos, the Isser would only be from Mincha and on, not from Samach LeMincha. Ask the Gemara question. We have a Bryce that clearly says that Rav Yehuda holds that on every Erev Shabbos, Erev Yantiv, one has to stop eating from 9 hours. 9 hours is, again, Samach LeMincha. And that's talking about regular Erev Shabbos, Erev Yantiv. So this answer of a Papa that Pesach is different than every Erev Yantiv, Erev Shabbos is shver. It doesn't work because we see the Braisa says, even by other Yom Tevim, even by other Yom Tevim and by Shabbos, Rav Yehuda says, from 9 hours, which is also Samach LeMincha. So we left off with that last line. We're going to go back to the bottom of the page, Sadi Tesla Beis. We read it already. We'll read it again. Amar Razit, Rav Yehuda says, you're refuting Rav Yehuda's answer, Rav Papa's answer to make Rav Yehuda be the author of a Mishnah, that our Mishnah is talking about Samach LeMincha, and the Dima other Yom Tovim of the Shabbosos is talking about Mincha itself from a Braisa, which seems to say that other Yom Tovim of the Shabbosos is also Samach LeMincha, also a half hour from Mincha. Who told you that Braisa is accurate? Maybe that Braisa really says 9 hours. It meant to say 9.5 hours. Amar Amar Zutra, Man Leiman Matresti. Who told you that Braisa is correct? Top of Kuf Amin Aleph, Dum Mishabeshti. Maybe the Braisa that says that one cannot eat on an Erev Shabbos, Erev Yomtiv, from 9 hours, really should have said 9.5 hours. That's what it should have said. And then the answer for Papa would work. Very interesting deflection that the Mor Eskash for Braisa that says maybe the Braisa, the wording is not exact, and therefore it's not a question. Okay. Either way, the Gemara deflects this and says, not true. Amli Meremer Vitamer of Yemer, Anekl of Yemer or Meremer said, Ana Ikl the Pirkit of Pinchas Breder of Ami. I went to the Shir from Pinchas Breder of Ami, and during that Shir, come down to Tony Kamei, someone got up and taught this Braisa, the Kibla Minani accepted the Braisa as is. So, meaning we didn't consider the Braisa Mishabeshta, the Braisa was considered to be authentic, and therefore, this answer for a Papa is not going to be a good answer. Says Mayachi Kasha. Look, we're back to Akasha. According to Yehuda, what is the uniqueness of our Mishnah saying that Samach LeMincha wants to stop eating Erev Pesach? Rabbi Yehuda holds that every Erev Shabbos and Erev Yantiv wants to stop eating Samach LeMincha a half hour and nine hours into the day. A half hour before Mincha. Says the Gemara, you're right. You have to go back to Rav Huna's answer that our Mishnah's Chiddush is going Dafka and Ergesi. According to Yehuda, one always has to stop. So the Lach is true. The Lach of Mishnah is true according to everyone. But according to Yehuda, there's no Chiddush in Pesach because it applies to every event of every Erev Shabbos. One has to stop eating. One cannot eat a large meal even a proper meal. One can't eat a meal from after 9 hours into the day. According to Ergesi, that din is Dafka din unique to Erev Pesach. Okay. Fact to Gemara. Ulav Huna Minicha. According to Rav Huna, is it good? Rav Huna is explaining the Amish goes to Gabesi, but Lachar with a cash even on Rav Huna. V'amar v'yemi b'amar b'yechran. V'yitem amar b'vo amar Rav Yesi b'Rav Chanina. Halacha k'div Rav Yehuda b'Erev Pesach. Halacha is like Rav Yehuda b'Erev Pesach that you have to be mafzik presumably from 9 hours into the day. V'alacha Rav Yesi b'Rav Shabbos. And Lachas like Rav Yesi b'Rav Shabbos that you do not have to be mafzik. Now, It's very nice that we're saying Lechazik Rebesi and Erev Shabbos, Rav Mavzik. That's great. We know Rebesi and Rebuda argue Erev Shabbos. But we're goofy coming to explain that our Mishnah is Reb Yesi, who even though he argues Erev Shabbos, he agrees by Erev Pesach that you do have to be Mavzik. So what does it mean you're saying Lechazik Rebuda Erev Pesach? Even Rebesi agrees. There's no Machlaikis in Erev Pesach. Ask the Gemara, Halach Rebuda Erev Pesach, Lechazik Rebuda Erev Pesach, they have to be Mavzik. Mechlal to pick your Rebesi with Tavayo. Isn't that an indication Rebesi argues even by Erev Pesach? So we're back to Akasha, even Rav Huna. It's Kshvar and everyone now. It sounds like we're saying from this Lush that we pass Erev Yehuda on Erev Pesach, sounds like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda argue across the board. They argue by Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, and Erev Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda across the board says you have to stop by 9 hours. Rabbi Yehuda would seemingly say you don't have to stop at all. So our mission is not going to make anybody. Our mission that says you have to stop by 9 hours, l'chari can't be Rabbi Yehuda. We're saying halachas like Rabbi Yehuda over here. It means Rabbi Yehuda presumably argues. It can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because that would mean Rabbi Yehuda would be agreeing that you're stopping. So our mission can't be Rabbi Yehuda, and can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because what's unique about Erev Pesach? Says the Gemara, loy halacha mechal de pligi. There's a whole nother machlokes we basically to have with regard to Erev Yom Tov, and that's what we're saying. Halacha zeh k'beis. What's the halacha? It's halacha of afsaka, of stopping a meal that already was started. And the Gemara's going to elaborate, but we're coming out that what we stuck with till now is true. What we said till now is true, meaning our mission over here that says one has to stop on Erev Pesach at 9 hours into the day. Of course, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, but it's not a mission according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rebuda holds you have to stop every Yom Tov, every Erev Yom Tov, every Erev Shabbos. So the Mishnah is not going to Rebuda, because although again agrees to the din, it wouldn't make sense to have this Mishnah because it's not unique to Pesach. The Mishnah is going according to Reb Yesi, who says normally Erev Shabbos, Erev Pesach, one does not have to refrain from eating by 9 hours. Yet on Erev Pesach he does, and our Mishnah is going to Reb Yesi. There's a member that says halachas like Reb Yehuda by Erev Pesach, which seems to say there is some sort of machlokes Rabbi Yehuda. That's a whole separate machlokes regarding being mafsik a meal. Let's see it inside the Tanya, like we learned in the Braisa, mafsik l'shabbos. Let's say one was already in the middle of a meal before 9 hours. He's in the middle of a meal. Does he have to stop? Does he have to stop the meal? So mafsik l'shabbos says the Braisa, one's mafsik for Shabbos. Let's say he's in the middle of a meal and now Shabbos hits. He's got to stop the meal for Shabbos. You're mafsik to make a separation between your weekday meal and your Shabbos meal. That's Rebuyudashita. Rebbe no, a mafsikin. If one's eating a meal and sunsets on Shabbos, he just continues eating. He doesn't have to be mafsik. We'll discuss in a moment what he does about Kiddush. We'll see if Taisvis. Okay. Says the Gemara, "Ma'aser b'Rishim Gamil for Yehuda." There's a story with Rishim Gamil and Yehuda for Rabbi Yesi. There's a story with Rishim Gamil and Yehuda and Rabbi Yesi. They were sitting together being Mesiv and Akai. Sounds like the Lashu we had by the Seder also, right? But the different Tanaim that was sitting in Bnei Brak. The Kaddish Aleim Ayim. And it became Shabbos. There's a regular Friday. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Gamil, with Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda was sitting and eating a meal on Friday afternoon, and it became Shabbos. Amalei, Rabbi Shimon, Gamil, Rabbi Shimon, says Rabbi Yehuda, remember, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that one need not stop, just keep eating. So Rabbi Shimon, says Rabbi Yehuda, would you like to stop and be chayshish for our friend, Rabbi Yehuda? Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda says back to him, b'choy, have you about the mechav v'dvar l'fnei Rabbi Yehuda? Every day, you always put forth my words, you say in front of Rabbi Yehuda that we should pass like me when we have machlokes between myself and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, you say that we should be knowing like my shita. V'achshav, and now at mechav div Rabbi Yehuda funny. And now when I'm sitting here and Rabbi Yehuda's here, you be mechav his words in front of me. Hagam very inyana diyama from Purim, of course. Hagam lichvash as a malka imi babayis. Are you gonna? Are you going to try to capture the queen? Imi babayis. That's of course what Achashverosh said when he saw Haman seemingly falling on Esther after when Haman was pleading for his life. After Achashverosh went into the garden to get some fresh air, he came back and Haman fell onto the bed that Esther was sitting on. He said, "Gamach v'shemach imbayis, take him away to be killed." The point is over here too. You're sitting over here in front of Rabbi Yehuda in Rabbi Yehuda's presence. In my presence, you want me to do like Rabbi Yehuda? Amrulai. So Rishon Gamil responded to Rabbi Yesi, "Im kein le'nafsik." Okay, if that's the case, let's not be mafsik, because Taka, you're right, Allah is like you. Shema, you're a Tamidim, you feel Allah is, because perhaps the Tamidim will see that we're stopping and they'll think Allah is like a Buddha. So you're right, let's not stop. Let's not create a possibility that Allah is going to tell me to make a mistake. The first one explained that's goof a part of the machlaik, part of the conversation here. It wasn't a covered conversation. Rabbi Shimon Gamil held that since they were sitting in the presence of Rabbi Yehuda with Rabbi Yesi, if he was to do like Rabbi Yehuda and stop, the Talmidim wouldn't make a mistake and think that's the halacha. They would just say, oh, they were deferring to Rabbi Yehuda because he was present. And Rabbi Yesi said, no. Even Rabbi Yesi is concerned, if we're going to do like Rabbi Yehuda right now with me being present, it's going to look like the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why you shouldn't do it. And that's why Rabbi Shimon Milataka says, let's not be mafsik in order to mean we shouldn't be kaveh to the wrong halacha. Amru, which is another line, and then we'll go back and be Mefarish a bunch. Amru leizazim bisham. They didn't move from there. Acha kavah lecherbesi until they tak established lecherbesi. Lecherbesi that when if one's eating a meal and Shabbos hits, he need not stop. We're going to see a qualification. Even those two dots here, the Mar's going to continue being qualification on that in the next line. Seems to be either a qualification in Rebesi shita or a third shita that we're going to pass on the Maisa. But right now we're saying lecherbesi, one who's in the middle of eating a meal and Shabbos hits, he need not stop his meal. So let's work. Let's go back to the beginning, right, of this machlekes. We have machlekes of two shitas, Rabbi Yosi and Yehuda, where the one is to be mafsik a meal on Shabbos when Shabbos hits, if he's already in the middle of a meal. And again, just to explain the Gemara itself, the Shak Mataya. So what we're saying is, Legabi, this machlekes, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda by Erev Pesach. Even though we're saying that all year round, that one doesn't have to stop his meal that he's already in the middle of. When it comes into Shabbos, when it comes to Pesach, one would have to stop the meal. That's when we're saying, so they argue, it's Lagabi, this machlaik is about stopping an existing meal. But Lagabi, starting a meal after 9 hours, that even Rabbi Yosi agrees, on Erev Pesach, one is not allowed to start the meal after 9 hours. Lagabi, that there's no machlaikis. That is the Gemara's ultimate answer. So we have machlaikis, Lagabi, starting a meal on a regular Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. Rabbi Yosi says you can, Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot. We have machlekes legabe stopping a meal that's already in existence on a regular Erev Shabbos. Rabbi Yosi says you don't have to, Rabbi Yehuda says you do have to. Legabe starting a meal Erev Pesach after 9 hours. Everyone agrees that you're not allowed to. Rabbi Yosi agrees to Rabbi Yehuda. And with regard to being mafsik, a meal that already started going into Pesach, Rabbi Yosi seems to say over there you still wouldn't have to be mafsik. Rabbi Yehuda holds you would have to be mafsik. And over there we pass like Rabbi Yehuda that one would, yes, have to be mafsik. You'd have to stop the meal that he's already in the middle of. Now, when we talk about stopping the meal, what does that mean? If you have to be mafsik, Tais says it means removing the table. It means removing the table. Remember, they used to have private tables. Each person would have his own table. So you remove it, and there was an idea of removing the table from the person. You move it away. Bisman Azel, we don't really have private tables, so maybe it would be clearing the table. It means removing the table, and you bench. That's being mafsik. You move the table, you bench. And that's a full hafsak. Ran says, you don't have to remove the table. The lushan, by the way, of Tais removing the table is going to be clear lushan on the top of Amud Beis. I mean, the whole Amud Beis is pretty short. But on Kuf Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to say a lushan of removing a table, Akiras HaShulchan. As far as lushan, that's the Chavar Tais got it from, that Mafsikin is Ayedei Akiras HaShulchan. Ran says, Lav Davka, it just means that if you take a break and you clearly decide you're stopping to eat this meal, that obligates benching. And once you obligate the bench, so now, starting it afterwards would be a new meal. But the point is, mafsika would be to be mafsik this meal and start a new meal. That's the idea, according to Rabbi Yehuda. One is to be mafsik his existing meal on Friday afternoon, and then start, and of course, on Pesach, for sure, and start a new meal. That is, according to Tosfos, that's according to the Ran. Again, machlekes is Tosfos and Ran, whether you have to be mamash eker the table or not. According to the Ran, the Ran's idea, by the way, is very relevant to Lech Lamaisa. Once you decide you're stopping to eat, and you're now obligated to bench, and that's already enough of sukkah. Taking away the table would be lavdaf, according to the Ran, is very relevant. Alach l'maisa, if a person decides he's finished his meal, the alach is, even if the person made brachas, even if he washed, once he decides his meal is finished, he has to make a new bracha on any food. Now, we do have a very interesting concept that the place can bring down, that we're a little fickle. I mean, unfortunately, hate to say it, but our decision-making process is a little bit wishy-washy. And therefore, even if we decided we're not going to eat anymore, very often we end up cutting another piece and taking a little more. So our decision not to eat may not be considered a final decision to require another bracha. It's not so pashut that we would have to make a new bracha. But there are clear indications that are really considered decisions. For example, let's say someone washes my machroinim. Let's say you take a clear off the table totally. And then, unbeknownst to anyone, someone comes in with a whole new dessert. Right? So in those cases where it's clear that even with our, we'll call it, less decisive minds, that we decide we're not going to eat, we always know, hey, you may still eat a little bit. That's when the food's in front of us on the table, so the decision not to eat may not be a concrete decision. That's up for debate. But in a case where it was clearly, the table was cleaned, was cleared off, or the person washed my machreinim, he said shir amalis, something like that, over there, it's even with Anazah, the place can would agree that a person would have to make a new bracha, like this idea from the Ran, that once you decide not to eat, you have to bench, and it makes a yamafsik for a new meal. That's all going in a Yehuda. Now, the question is, why Bechlal? Why do you have to be mafsik? Why Bechlal, according to Yehuda, according to Reis, talking about mafsik? According to Yehuda, why mafsik? Why can't you just make kiddush as is? Just get up and make kiddush, continue the meal, and make kiddush. So Ben David, the Rishonim explained this, Ben David explains that the idea Rabbi Yehuda held, that in order for the Suda to have a Torah, Suda Shabbos, to have the specialty of Shabbos, it needs to be like a meal that's being brought in special for Shabbos. You need to have interruption to clearly define a separation. Really, two different as far as he's saying, number one is we want a meal to be brought in for Shabbos. So like this, when you're mafsik, it creates that the meal, even if it's on the table already, you're going to see that you cover it. But if, especially if you take away the table and bring it back, it's a new meal being brought in for Shabbos. Furthermore, if you don't do that, it just looks like a continuation from weekday meal. happens to me, my weekday meal extended to Shabbos, but there's nothing special about Shabbos in this meal. So again, it's the same general idea. We want to have a clear indication that there's a special meal happening for Shabbos. Okay, that's all in Rabbi Yehuda. In Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Imav Sikin, so Taisa right away points out, first of all, even according to Basi, Imav Sikin is only when you start a Beheter. If he started this, he started Beheter, because again, we're applying Imav Sikin, not just Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, which Rabbeisi says that Rabbeisi holds, you don't have to, there's no issue with starting a meal even after 9 hours. But Erev Pesach, we said, even Rabbeisi agrees. That's what we end and ultimately learning our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says Erev Pesach, one is not allowed to eat, start a meal 9 hours into the day. So that is according to Rabbeisi. According to Rabbeisi, you can never start the meal. So Erev Pesach is not going to Rabbeisi. And we're saying Imav Sikin applies even on Erev Pesach, according to Rabbeisi. You don't have to stop. But what do you mean? You're supposed to be eating a meal now in the first place. Says Jesus, must be talking about an interesting case where the guy started before 9 hours. He started Beheta, and this is a big Yisayin in general, in Halacha, in a few places. Halacha is in the morning, not just in the morning, in general, before davening. One's not supposed to eat whatever says man for tefillah, shachas, mincha, marv. He's not supposed to be eating a meal because it may be nimshach, the meal may shlep, and it may take away his das, and he may forget to daven. If, however, he started Beheter, then he's allowed to continue. It's a similar idea. This is a concept we find in a few places. If one was masl Beheter, he's allowed to continue. Says Taisus, our case here basically must be where the guy started before 9 hours. Again, on Erev Pesach, we're talking Dafka, where Rabbi Yisrael, it's a problem to eat on Erev Pesach after 9 hours. So Rabbi Yisrael himself must be talking about a case where he started before 9 hours, and now it's already Pesach, so it's a very long meal on Erev Pesach. And Rabbi Yisrael is saying, he would not have to be mafsik. But in the case where he started Bistar, so of course, Madach, he's not allowed to eat now in the first place, he certainly would have to also be mafsik, as I learned Taisus and Taisus in Rabbi Yisrael, in Rabbi Yisrael. Now Taisus further, that according to Rabbi Yisrael, what do you do about Kiddush? According to Rabbi Yisrael, what do you do about Kiddush? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's gewaldig. You're stopping specifically to sanctify the meal of Shabbos to make sure it's special, and therefore, of course, you're going to make a separate Kiddush before you start your new meal. According to Rabbi Yisrael, what do you do about Kiddush? Taisus learns, you're not stopping to benching and then making Kiddush. That's already a new meal. But you're not going to, let me say better. Taisus doesn't mean that you get to finish this meal, but then, of course, you'll have to make Kiddush and have a new meal afterwards. Maybe that's what it means. You don't have to stop your meal when Shabbos or Pesach starts, but of course, you'll have to go on make Kiddush and have a new meal afterwards. Then he says, that'll defeat the purpose. You might as well just, that means you have to complete this meal and make a new meal. You might as well just stop this meal, bench, and start a new meal. Then he therefore says, you don't have to stop the meal at all to make a Kiddush. You don't have to have a new meal afterwards at all. Rather, you finish the meal as is, and you make Kiddush afterwards. You finish the meal as is, and you make Kiddush afterwards. You don't make Kiddush during your meal. You don't have a new meal afterwards. You finish this existing meal, and make Kiddush after the meal. Use Kiddush. That Kiddush B'makom Suda could be even a Kiddush post the Suda, not just a Kiddush pre the Suda. There is a... Actually, before we get to the Lamed Shaila on Kiddush B'makom Suda, which, by the way, will be a big topic in tomorrow's daf as well. We'll probably focus more on tomorrow's daf. But before we get to Kiddush B'makom Suda, Taisa just asked, so how do you do the Seder of the Dalet Geisus? Lachar, you have to have Dalet Geisus. Again, the main conversation of Rabbi Yisi is talking about an Erev Pesach. Rabbi Yisi is saying that one is not mechuyav to be mafsik, even on Erev Pesach. And we're saying, Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, that one does have to be mafsik. But according to Rabbi Yisi, that one does not have to be mafsik. We're saying two things. First of all, you must have started the meal before 9 hours, because even Rabbi Yisi agrees you can't start the meal after 9 hours. You started the meal before 9 hours. But now we're saying not only that, you don't have to be mafsik, so what about Kiddush? So Kiddush is, after the Suda, you finish the meal, then make Kiddush. What about Dalet Geisus? Says Taisus, read inside. Says Taisus, how do you get the Dalet Geisus? Yeshleimer, the end of Taisus, Rabbi Masl, Rabbi Yisi, we're middle of already. Yeshleimer, the Yasu Dalet Geisus, Shleik Kaseda, Regiyah Masas. Lastly, so you do the Dalet Geisus not in the regular order. Kais Berichas Hamazon Tchila. First, you have the Kais of Berichas Hamazon. V'yachach Kaisel Kiddush. V'yirakis. V'yachrav Kaisel Kais Shlishi. After you have Kais Shlishi, so you have first the Kais for benching, because that's what you're doing first. You're finishing your meal first, benching, then making Kiddush. So first, you have the Kais of benching, that the Kais of Barich. That was normally that's our third Kais. That's your first Kais in this case. Your second Kais is your Kais of Kiddush. Your third Kais is the Kais of Manashtana and Maror. And then finally, on the fourth case, you'll say halal. So that would be the same, actually. The fourth case will be the same fourth case that we have normally, which will be halal. But you're going to have a very interesting seder for your dal cases in this scenario, as I learned Taisvis in Rabbi Yisi. Now, getting back to the Kiddush B'makom Suda, Taisvis is learning that's Kiddush B'makom Suda by making Kiddush after a Suda, but it's connected to Suda. So that's also Kiddush B'makom Suda. It doesn't have to be before, it could be after. There's a big chakir in the Achreinim. Hersha Shechter elaborates on this. Rabbi Shechter elaborates. It's not his own chakir. He brings it down from the earlier Achreinim. What is the idea of Kiddush B'makom Suda, meaning more specifically, is the we know he's supposed to have Kiddush, he's supposed to have a food together with the Kiddush. Otherwise, it's a problem. You're not Yetzah, the din of Kiddush B'makom Suda. Again, we'll touch on it at the presumably at the very end of today's daf. We're not going to focus on it, but we'll touch on the very end of today's daf. So Kiddush B'makom Suda What is the main focus? Is it a din mitzvah, the kiddush? The kiddush isn't called the kiddush. You're not yet to kiddush yom unless you have a suda attached to it. Or is it a din mitzvah, the suda? There's a din mitzvah, the suda. You're supposed to have a kiddush to have a kaddish, the suda. That's the, again, the clear. Is it a din mitzvah, the kiddush? The kiddush needs to be b'makom suda. Or is it a din mitzvah, the suda? Nafkamina could be, there's a machlekes actually, a big machlekes in the achrayim, right? Machlekes, the people's on huggis. The goyim was very against making kiddush and eating mezainis. He's very against kiddush has to be with a meal, with bread, with challah, right? Others, we seem to be noyeg, very much so. That you have to have a shear, you have to have a significant amount of mezainis. People aren't so careful for this. You have to have a significant amount of mezainis. Or drink a lot of wine. If you do two revises of wine, something also that makes a status kiddush among suda. But we hold that it's okay to have either two revises of wine or to have a significant amount of mezainis. That's also kiddush among suda. Perhaps that'll be totally in the shaila whether you need to have it with bread or not. If the kiddush Makom Suda is a dim mitzad kiddush, as long as you can connect it to some sort of Suda, that's enough. But if it's a dim mitzad the Suda, then the Chayra, it's the whole point is the Suda needs kiddush, so the Chayra is dafka din when you're, the Chayra should be din when you're eating bread. Nafkamina, again, in this Kakira, is our Taisvis. Taisvis is saying you could connect the Kiddush Makom Suda, you can make the Kiddush after the Suda. We're saying a person was eating this lengthy meal, very unique case, a very lengthy meal he was having on Erev Pesach, going into Pesach. Remember, we pointed out it's got to be starting before 9 hours. Otherwise, you can't start it according to anyone. It started before 9 hours into the day, and it continued straight all the way into Pesach in the evening. We're saying, according to Rabbi Yossi, you don't have to be mafsik. Finish the meal. Says with Tesis, but what do you do about Kiddush? You make, and Dal Geisis in general, you make Kiddush after. You make Kiddush after the meal, and that connects to your Kiddush b'makom suda. By the way, it's a whole discussion. I really should point out, not everyone agrees you need Kiddush Makom Suda necessarily by Pesach. Who says you need Kiddush Makom Suda b'chlal? Maybe it's not a din by Pesach, but let's assume there is a din of Kiddush Makom Suda by Pesach, by the Kiddush of Pesach. Maybe the din of Pesach are different b'chlal by Pesach. You make Kiddush, and then you have a huge break. We have a huge break with the whole Magid until we get to drink a second case, until we get to Shulchan Aruch, could be hours, right? So who says maybe b'chlal, the Kiddush by Pesach does not have a din of Kiddush Makom Suda? There are those that say that. Others say, no, the fact that I drink this case and then drink another case, again, having multiple cases, also be called Makom Suda. But again, my Taisus seems to say very clearly that there isn't a Kiddush Makom Suda on Pesach. And how am I Yetza Kiddush Makom Suda on Pesach? I'm Yetza by Kiddush Makom Suda on Pesach via making Kiddush after the meal. Now, l'chayra, if you say the din of Kiddush Makom Suda is a din mitzad the Kiddush, then it's very good that the Kiddush needs to be connected to a Suda. So whether it's connected to a Suda from before the Suda, or whether it's connected to a Suda from after the Suda, it's a Kiddush connected to the Suda, and therefore that's sufficient, that's okay. But if you learn that the idea of Kiddush Makom Suda is a din mitzad the Suda, the Chayra, the Kiddush should have to be before the Suda. If the Suda is what needs the Kiddush, this Kiddush should have to be before the Suda, not after the Suda. So if it's mitzad the Suda, it needs to be like with challah, a proper meal, it needs to be before the Suda, not after the Suda. So that would be a riot to that side of the Chayra. Mitzchem, we'll speak more about that tomorrow in the Rashbam. We'll speak more about this din of Kiddush Makom Suda. Okay, Lemaisa, one last point to this before we go further. The Shulchan Aruch and Simon Reish Mem Tes on Erev Shabbos discusses it's usa to be kaveya a larger meal than usual on Friday afternoon. Even the Suda's Erisin, the Shulchan Aruch says, one cannot make a Suda's larger than usual on Friday afternoon. So in this discussion, it sounds like we're passing in this bigger discussion about making meals on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, certainly Erev Pesach. Sounds like we're passing more like Rabbi Yossi. We're passing more like Rabbi Yossi that it's permissible to eat. It is permissible to eat. We're not passing like a Midas Machber about not washing at all on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, Erev Pesach. But Rabbi Yossi, actually, Erev Pesach, everyone agrees. But Erev Shabbos, Eventive. But on Erev Shabbos, to eat a larger than usual meal on Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, that's already a problem. Most people don't necessarily wash every day, and they certainly don't have big meals. So to wash and have a decent-sized meal in the afternoon Erev Shabbos, that's already the Shulchan Aruch brings, should not be done. That's even according to Rabbi Yossi, but to eat regular, which is what we do, you're not supposed to fast going to Shabbos. You typically don't have fast on Fridays. One fast that comes out on Friday, a Sarbatavis, whatever reason, but typically we don't have fast on Friday because you're not supposed to fast going to Shabbos. You're supposed to not be fully fasting, but also you're not supposed to be completely full. You're supposed to eat a normal amount, eat a normal amount, and go into Shabbos hungry, just to review. I believe we mentioned it the other day, but if we didn't, mention again. There's a famous Gemara in Gittin. I shouldn't say, I don't know how famous it is. There's a Gemara in Gittin on Daf Lamed Ches, where the Gemara discusses two families, two beautiful families, big families, were uprooted. The families were totally uprooted from Klal Yisrael. Why? One family, Nebuch, when on Shabbos afternoon, when everyone would go to hear Beis Medrash, go to the drasha, they would sit down to another special meal. Instead of going to eat, to go to shul, to learn, to hear the drasha from the Rav, they would sit down at that specific time to go eat a meal. It's considered an affront to Kavah Torah, it wasn't proper on Haggah, and Nebuchadnezzar's family was uprooted. What was the story with the other family? They would eat big meals on Friday afternoon. They would set up big meals on Friday afternoon and wouldn't be hungry for the meal on Shabbos, on Friday night. And because of that, the family was uprooted from Klal Yisrael. They were uprooted. So a very big, a little scary Gemara, a very big warning on having these big, extremely large einigs, they call them, or whatever you call them, or tayamaz, big tayamaz, I should say, einigs are really on Shabbos itself. These big tayamaz on Friday, it's okay to eat, it's okay to have a tasting, it's a tayamaz, a mitzvah, to taste food before Shabbos. Really, it's a mitzvah to taste the food that one's going to be eating on Shabbos, but okay, the idea of tayamaz is fine, and one's not supposed to go on Shabbos fasting, but to eat too much, to eat excessive, Adraba, clearly we see from our Gemara, Alach Lamais was saying, is one's not allowed to do the Reish Mabtes, and the Gemara in Gittin says that the ramifications could be dire. Okay, says the Gemara Vayita. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, back to this Alach about being mafsik. So far we have Machlekes, Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Yehuda, whether one who's already in the middle of a meal better, whether he has to stop. By the way, there's an interesting story for Rabbi David. We ask that according to Biasi, on Erev Pesach, he's saying, you're not allowed to start a meal from 9 hours into the day, but if you start a behetah, you don't have to stop, which is a concept we say we apply in other places. But what's the logic? If I'm not allowed to start a meal from 9 hours into the day because I can't, I have to eat the matzah b'tei oven, so why, just because I may start early, can I continue? I still have the issue of eating b'tei oven. The logic doesn't make sense. Says Rabbi David, because there's a concept in a person's physics, in the makeup of a person. If a person is in the middle of eating, and he doesn't stop, his body's able to continue eating more. Once you stop, even if you wait 5 minutes, sometimes they tell people, slow down, stop eating, take a break for a minute. You'll see how full you are. The body takes some time. There's like a time lapse where the body adjusts to the fact that it has food inside it. So that break is enough to give the person a time lapse. So that's what Beis says. Aim of seeking, you have to stop. As long as the separate din, you can't eat before Pesach, because if you have a big meal in 9 hours of the day and you're going to presumably not eat straight, you're going to stop at some point, a half hour later, an hour later, you'll be full for the sage. That's a problem. But if you happen to be eating straight, then that presents a mila. When one's eating straight, there's less of a concern of him being filled up, because as long as you don't stop, there's still more of a taiva. Which is a kiddush, because the maisa, you're going to definitely stop between kiddush and until you get to maitzi matzah. It's going to be, no matter how fast you say the agada, it's going to be a stoppage. But okay, that's a svara that's brought in the Rishonim to explain why it's not a stira, a complete stira, and it basically that you don't have to stop, even though you're not allowed to eat after 9 hours, in order to keep an empty stomach, in order to keep a taiva for the matzah. Okay, so now we have basically saying that one does not have to stop by Erev Pesach, and certainly by Erev Shabbos and other Erev Yantiv, whereas according to Pesach, one would have to stop by even Erev Shabbos, Erev Yantiv, and certainly Erev Pesach, one would have to stop if he's in the middle of eating. Says the Gemara, and so far we seem to have passed like a Beisi. Now look at the member from the Amayra. Amar Vidom Shmuel, ain't alach like a Yehuda, like a Beisi, alach is not like a Yehuda, not like a Beisi. Ela pers mapu makadesh. Rather, when it comes to Shabbos, Friday night, and you're in the middle of eating a meal, what do? When it comes to nightfall, you spread a cloth over the table, you make kiddush, and then you can continue eating. But you kind of break up the meal by spreading over rather, what do we say? You spread a cloth over the meal, you make kiddush, and then you continue your meal. Now, there's a question as to what is Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel paskening. What's Shmuel paskening? So Rashbam learns that Shmuel is paskening. About we go Kabesi. We just saw he paskened Kabesi. He also Kabesi. He just says, Al Tzchumr the Shabbos, it's Kedai to do this anyway. Even though you don't really have to be mafsik, Al Tzchumr the Shabbos, it's very nice to go and cover up the food and make at least a partial hefzik and make a separate kiddush. That's our problem with the Shmuel. Because otherwise, the question obviously is, how is Shmuel and Amira getting involved in Mechleikas Tanaim and passing like nobody? He's passing like a third opinion, like a base, like a Buddha. That's the Chayyim problem's approach. But if you jump into Taisus says it's not fair at all. If you jump into the Bam Taisus quotes from the Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi brings this Mechleikas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, and then brings the Shitas Chachamim and says word for word what Shmuel quotes. Shmuel's quoting the Shitas Chachamim in the Yerushalmi. The Chachamim say exactly this. They don't say like a Yosi. They don't say like a Buddha. They say your Paris Mapa, you spread out a cloth, and you mekadesh. Again, this is one of the eights that were brought last Friday. Now it's already a couple days ago. It's already 3 days ago. On Friday, that was Purim. it was Erev Shabbos and Purim. What was the different Eitzes of Ramah? So, of course, says eat the meal earlier in the day. Machlokes is how early, before Chatzayis. Ramah says Lashon Shachris. But some, therefore, most people interpret the Ramah to be before Chatzayis. Yad Ephraim says it can be even up to 9 hours. Now we get a much more of appreciation of what the 9 hours is. Not even up to 9 hours, 9.5 hours. One could have started the Purim Suda, Bidyeved, it's born Alacha, even if he didn't wash till then, he could wash even afterwards. But someone didn't give the Eitzah of Pyrus, of being Pyrus this Mapo Makadish, spreading over, just eat the meal straight, start the meal at regular time, towards the end of the day, which is when we start the meal on a regular Purim, later in the day, and then and when it comes to Shabbos, just be Pyrus Mapo Makadish. It leads to many different questions. When are you going to daven? What type of benchy do you do? Do you say Al-Nisim? Do you say Ritzay? It leads to many different, many other questions. Do you make Kiddush? The bigger question, I left out the bigger ones. Do you make Kiddush? Do you make Kiddush? Do you make Kiddush? Which is really we didn't focus so much of it over here in our sugi, which you should have. Do you make kiddush with Do you make a bar piyag guffin at kiddush? Kiddush you can make, but you're already drinking wine. Do you make a new bar piyag guffin? Do you make a new amaitzi? It's a big shilos whether you make new guffin or new amaitzi. These are big shilos in general in the sugi b'chlal. If you're not mafsik, are you making new bar piyag guffin, new amaitzi? If you're mafsik, of course it's a new meal. But if you're not mafsik, do you make a guffin? Do you make a amaitzi? It's a big shilos in the peiskim. L'maisa we rule the kula. Well, I say the kula safa brachas lachul. We don't make any of the brachas. But l'maisa, it's not because we know with certainty you don't. It's because we're in doubt, and therefore it leads to other shilos. Therefore, the peiskim say better not to. The achrayim for sure say not to. Even the earlier peiskim say not to be peiris mapel. We did point out. We quoted the other day that the Mordechai and the Meiri, they both speak about Purim that fell on Friday, that this is an Eitzah. They bring this as an Eitzah of being Pyrus Mapa. But okay, so we're saying that you Pyrus Mapa, you spit out the cloth, and you Mekadish, you make Kiddush. Again, big question, like I just pointed out, whether or not you make a Maitzi, a new Maitzi, the bread that was there, we make it a Guffin. We're knowing not to because of Safik, but that is the Eitzah of Shmuel, somewhere, kind of like a Pshara, somewhere in between Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Again, according to Taisa, it's really a black and white sheet. It's Chacham and Yushalmi. According to Rashbam, it's taking Rabbi Yosi Shita and it's tweaking it, being a little, it's Rabbi Yosi's Pasuk Rabbi Yosi, but just being a little extra machmir, according to Shmuel, in order to cover Shabbos. Okay, Ain, he asked the Gemara, is that so? The Shmuel hold that you purse Mapi and Mekadesh, and that's good enough. Just like we stop a meal in order to make Kiddush, that everyone agrees you have to make Kiddush. I mean, I shouldn't say everyone agrees. We were saying in Tesis and Rebbeis, you're not Mafsif Kiddush, you finish the meal, make Kiddush afterwards, but okay. Shame Shabbos seeking the Kiddush, just like a Mafsif meal for Kiddush, tap him on base, Kachmaf seeking Lavdullah. So to a mafsik meal, if you're middle of a meal and it's going late into about the Shabbos, you mafsik avdala. Now my mafsikin, what does it mean mafsikin? Lav akiris ha-shulchan. Does mafsikin mean you do akiris ha-shulchan, you take away the whole table, you end the meal. So mafsik means you mafsik proper, not just pyrus mapa, not just spreading a cloth. It means being mafsik proper, l'chari. That's the Gemara's assumption. Here's, by the way, what we quoted from Tesis and Abba Aleph, that when you mafsik it means to take away the shulchan. The Gemara's lashon is very clear. It means take away the shulchan. The Ran, I think it was, who argued in Tesis, the Ran will say, it's lav davka. Doesn't mean take away the shulchan. It just means cover it. It means stop the meal. The point is, mafsik means a full hefsik, not just spreading a cloth. The Gemara says, loy, lamapa means spreading a cloth. Spreading a cloth temporarily, just for a moment, spreading the cloth. In order to cover it up to make Kiddush, that would be enough. Again, what would be the idea of spreading the cloth? We spoke about before already. The idea of spreading the cloth would be in order to make it clear that this meal that we're having going forward is sanctified. It's for Shabbos. It's special. It's not just a weekday meal that's extending. Okay. Rabbi Funa came to Eshklusa. Isu taka kamei. They brought this is when they came up from shul Friday night. They came to eat the meal. They brought a table full of food. Before a kiddush in front of them, paras mapam kiddush, he spread a cloth over the food and then make kiddush again in order that the food shouldn't be exposed before kiddush. So instead of having the table removed totally, he left the table there and he just spread a map, and that's the kiddush. The point is, the food's supposed to be covered. We'll actually explain a couple of reasons why the food is supposed to be covered. Taisa discussa, we'll get there in a second. But instead of having the table removed, they kept the table there and just covered it and made kiddush. Tanam hachi, she'ain, v'shavin, she'ain, mevin, esashokhan, elam, ken kiddush. You don't bring the table everyone agrees, it's not supposed to be the table until you make kiddush. From heavy, before it was brought, paris, map, and makadish, you simply cover and you make Kiddush. You simply cover and make Kiddush. Taisus points out that that's all great when they used to have private little tables and they used to have these. Tais actually starts with a question. Tais says that the Gemara tells us if the Malach comes home Friday night and sees the table set, he gives a bracha next week. The table should be set the same way. Everything should be prepared for Shabbos. And if he comes and sees Chalila, the table's not set when you come home from Shul, he says next week should be the same as well. They should also have this inefficiency, this lack of. They should continue in their lack of being prepared for Shabbos. You see very clearly having the table set is a Mila. Here we're saying that shouldn't be brought. It shouldn't be set. On the contrary, supposed to make kiddush without the table being set. Tais says that they used to have these small tables that were set in a different area, a different room, a different part of the room, and then we bring them over already fully set. So they were, like you see sometimes by a kiddush, where the tables are set, but you need the space for davening, or you need the space for by a wedding, for the chuppah, the bedekin, and they have tables that are set, lined up, all next to each other, and they slide the tables that are set out. That's considered proper, it's considered prepared. You're just moving the set tables. That's okay. That's what Taisa says, that's what they used to do, have these smaller tables set. Taisa points out, but our tables are usually larger. This is what Taisa says. Certainly it's the way we do like today. We eat around one large table. You're not going to be able to move it in and out. That's not really so practical. And therefore, Tais says, therefore, it's hard to set them elsewhere and bring them afterwards. It's going to be a big hefsek, a big tumult. So what we do is, we have it set properly. We have the chalos on the table, and we cover the chalos with paris map. Exactly. We're like almost like, not b'dieved, but like the situation where the table, you come in and set, you want to make kiddush, you're supposed to cover it and make kiddush right away. The idea of covering it, we said, of course, is in order that the it should be clear that you're making kiddush and then the food's coming out. The idea is that it should be that the suda is coming with the in the honor of Shabbos by covering the chalos and then making kiddush and then uncovering it. It becomes like the chalos only being presented after the kiddush, after you sanctify the day of Shabbos. That's when the chalos are coming out. That is one sefer Taisa brings why we cover the chalos. Taisa brings another reason why we cover the chalos is because we want to mimic the man. Taisa says, you want to mimic the man. The man was covered on top and bottom. It was covered on top and bottom. Our challah zeich leman. Ironically, the man filled double portion on Friday, but we make our zeicher on Shabbos. We have two challahs. That's lecha mishnah. Zeich leman. And we want to cover on top and bottom. So we should mimic the man. That's why we cover the challahs top and bottom. That's the second reason for covering the challahs. A third reason, again, this is explaining, relates to why we paris mappa. A third reason is because we don't want the challah to be embarrassed. Right, we're making kiddush on wine. We're surpassing the challah to make kiddush on wine, and therefore no, the challah should be embarrassed. So we cover the challah. Three reasons why we're covering the challah again. One is the basic reason, which seems to fit with the most symbols in our Gemara, which is we want the challah to be covered so we can make kiddush first and then present the challah. That's clearly mitzad Shabbos, mitzad the covenant of Shabbos. While we have challah, reason number two is in order to mimic the man, it was covered top and bottom, so we have the table beneath, we have the tablecloth, the table beneath, and the cover on top. Reason number three is that we cover the challah in order that it should be embarrassed that you're making kiddush on the wine and not on the challah. Big nafkaminas in these reasons. Nafkin number one, if one makes kiddush achala, if one doesn't have wine, he's not going to make kiddush achala. If one makes kiddush achala, the chala's not going to be embarrassed. You're making kiddush on the chala, you would not have to cover the chala. If it's the reason for man or covet Shabbos, the covet Shabbos, then avad you still be covering the chala. Another nafkamina, if one does, when do you remove the cover? When do you remove the cover? If it's just that it shouldn't be embarrassed for kiddush, so right after kiddush, you remove the cover. And also, if it's just to show that's the covet Shabbos, so once you make kiddush, you can remove the cover. If it has to do with the man, then perhaps you keep it covered till you make a mitzvah. That's what many people do. That's what I do. That's the minute I've seen by most people. You make an incision in the challah. I'll have sick after you wash, you make an incision in the challah. You then recover the challahs and make a mitzvah with the covered, because if it's damaged to the man, you keep it covered all the way till you're finished the bracha of a mitzvah. That's another afkamina. A third afkamina is, what has to be covered? Is it dafka challah or all the food on the table? All the food on the table, if the word is out showing the food on the table is out to cover Shabbos, then the paris mappa in our sugya is not just for challah, it's for the chayra. All the food on the table has to be covered. And that's why many people have a minig not to bring out other dishes, other foods, or if there's dips, they cover them, but not to bring out other, some people are more lenient with dips, but they don't bring out the fish. They put it on a side table, or they don't bring it out till after mitzi, because it's the same idea. You want, if it's out to cover Shabbos, you're trying to show that the food is covered Shabbos, so it all should be covered for kiddush, make kiddush, and then expose the food. And therefore, when you come to, let's say, by a big simcha where it's difficult to serve everyone, the fish is already plated on the table, one should not just be covering the challah, just to be, again, we would like to be yaitza all three of these reasons, so one should be covering not just the challah, be covering the fish as well. And lastly, v'shal shudis, is no kiddush, obviously, with shal shudis. So if there's no kiddush, would there be inyan to cover the challah? If it's a vart of man, shal shudis, we're supposed to have, we also try to have lecha mishnah, it's also a zeichet for the man, and therefore you'd cover the challah if it's zeichet leman. But if it's al kiddush, if it's also being embarrassed for the kiddush, there is no kiddush by shalshuddis. There'll be no reason to, or if it's also being mekadesh the meal, there's no kiddush by shalshuddis anyway, and therefore there'd be no reason to cover it. Four nafkaminas, totally in these three reasons. Again, the ma'aseh, we try to machmer, we take on all three reasons, and we try to be machmer for all the possibilities. Okay. Says the Gemara further. If you want to just. Sorry, just wait there. We're tight on time. Ask me afterwards. It's okay. Says the Gemara further. Tani Chada, we learned in one brisa, Shavin She'em Aschilin, that both are basically to agree that you don't start a meal. They both agree you don't start a meal. V'tani Idach, we learned from Minchan Amr, or close to Mincha. Tani Idach, Shavin She'em Aschilin, they both agree you do start a meal. So, Bishlam Hadani, Shavin She'em Aschilin, Shavin that you don't start a meal. That's Mishkachas Lab Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach is where basically agrees to Rabbi Yehuda. You can't start a meal. Erev Pesach, Samach L'mincha. That's great. El Hadani, Shavin She'em Aschilin, but this is that we learned the brisa that they both agree you could start. Amos, when do we agree they could start? When do they both agree you could start? Inim Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda said you could start. But Rabbi Yehuda argues. Hamavik Fligi, Rabbi Yehuda over there argues, and he says you can't start from Minchan on. So what are we talking about? Like Kasha, Kankai, Tisha, Kanacha Tisha. We're talking about before Tisha, after Tisha. The second Rabbi says there are degrees that you let us start a meal is talking about before the ninth hour. When we talk about the everyone agrees you can't start, is talking about after the ninth hour. Okay. I was going to plan to start the next Gemara. Let's pause over here with this Gemara for tomorrow. Yes, Leon, you can.